in dark places, the Breakfast of Champions. Last Wednesday night, I was at Walmart, as I tend to be. I'm always there for some reason. So me and Brandon were leaving. We were going out to the car, putting our groceries up and everything. And this weird, shady guy hollered at me out on the parking lot. And at first, I couldn't really understand him. And I just kept on unloading the groceries. And I kind of heard him again. It sounded like he said something about a guitar. And I just kind of kept ignoring him. And he hollered a third time as I got done unloading the groceries. Kind of understood him this time. He said something about a gift card. So I kind of foolishly walked over toward him. I said, "What have you got, man?" He said, "Yeah, man, I've got a gift card here for $63. I'll give it to you right now for $20. I said, "Huh?" And he said, "I just returned a pair of boots in here, and I didn't have the receipt, so they just gave me a gift card. They wanted my ID and everything. I didn't know they did that stuff now. It was weird." I said, "Yeah, that's kind of crazy, ain't it?" He said, "I need cash right now, because I want to play the slots. I can't use this gift card. I've got to have cash. I'll give you this gift card if you give me $20. I said, "Nah, man, I don't have any spare money on me right now." And he said, "That's a heck of a deal. It's a $63 gift card. I'll give it to you for $20. That's over half the price." So I was like trying to get away from him. He was kind of annoying me at that point. So I noticed that he had an Ohio license plate, a little beat up S10 truck. So I was thinking, dude's got a serious gambling problem there at first. And I didn't really think nothing of it. He kept insisting that I take his gift card. I said, "No, man, I better not. I just got my dad's money on me right now. I don't really have any money and stuff." He said, $15. I was like, "Huh?" He said, "Yeah, I'll give you this $63 gift card for $15. You can't pass that up." In the back of my mind, I knew there was something up with this guy. But for some dumb reason, I went ahead and I gave him the $15. And he gave me the gift card and said, "God bless you." So he slammed the door on his little S10 truck and screeched out of the parking lot as fast as he could go. Hurry and got out of Dodge, and the red flags were going up pretty good by this time. I was like, "Yeah, there's something up with this dude." So naturally, the next day I tried to use the gift card, and it said declined. We live, we learn. So he was a pretty shady looking dude. I should have never went over to him to start with. It's pretty obvious he's going to use that $15 for drugs or some junk. I didn't have a topic for this week's show, so I started thinking about like sick, twisted people, and that might be a good way to kind of do a show on that topic. So then the very next day I heard a story from a neighbor of mine. She told me that there was this crazy accident in town involving road rage. I was like, "Huh? Road rage?" And she said, "Yeah, these two guys were like racing coming down the road, and one kept passing the other, and the other would pass the other one, and it went back and forth for a couple miles. Finally, like, one of the guys ended up killing the other guy. He pulled a gun out and shot him and killed him." So I was like, "Whoa, dude, that's crazy." Because, you know, small town, you don't hear about stuff like that around here. So yeah, that got my gears turning pretty good then. I had the guy in the Walmart parking lot with the gift card. Then the next day I hear about this insane case of road rage. That brought us up to this week's topic, monster people. If you've got a story to tell and you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you know a show topic that we can talk about here on the show, send an email to endarkplacespod@hotmail.com. We'll get into these monster people after this week's news. Mysterious Portal in the Skies Above Virginia Beach by Nirmal Narayanan on October 10th, 2021. Conspiracy theorists all around the world strongly believe that alien existence on Earth could be real. According to these conspiracy theorists, an advanced extraterrestrial species has been visiting the Earth for hundreds of thousands of years, and they often put forward UFO sightings to assure their presence on the blue planet. And now, a seemingly square-shaped portal that appeared in the skies above Virginia Beach has made several people believe that something beyond explanation is happening without the knowledge of the general public. The eyewitness who saw this strange structure in the skies called it a square-shaped ladder portal. He also suggested that this portal could be a doorway or a pathway, a concept often depicted in Hollywood sci-fi films. The video was later analyzed by self-styled alien hunter Scott Waring. The conspiracy theorist, who is currently operating from Taiwan, claimed that the appearance of this portal could be a sign of alien activities on Earth. An eyewitness saw a mile-high, lit-up doorway in the sky yesterday. The light is actually not a doorway, but the outline of a UFO that has come down from the sky and rested in the cloud cover itself. The UFO pushes the cloud slightly, making a thinner line around its edges, and thus the outline of the UFO is visible. This is 100% proof that aliens observe humans from hidden locations, wrote Waring on his website, UFO Sightings Daily. A few days back, a cube-shaped UFO had appeared in the skies of New Jersey, amid lightning in the skies. The video of the event was submitted to the Mutual UFO Network, and was later analyzed by Waring, who is now an online celebrity known for making claims surrounding aliens and extraterrestrials. After watching the video, Waring bizarrely claimed that UFOs could be the reason behind the creation of lightning. Earlier, he had also argued that aliens have the capability to reap energy from lightning.
This is your In Dark News news correspondent, Mr. Haunted, with some interesting news from around the world. There is a phone booth in Japan that helps connect the living and the dead. In a small garden in Otsuchi, Japan, sits a tall white phone booth with a phone with no connection. People travel all over just to use the phone to speak with relatives or loved ones who have died. It has since been named the Phone of the Wind, or Wind Phone. The phone booth was built by Atari Sasaki, the owner of the garden, in 2010, shortly after he lost his cousin to cancer. Sasaki opened it to the public in 2011, following the devastating tsunami that claimed the lives of over 20,000 people. Since then, it has remained popular among locals and tourists alike. There are many people who were not able to say goodbye, Sasaki said. There are families who wished they could have said something at the end had they known they wouldn't get to speak again. Since 2011, the Wind Phone has attracted over 30,000 visitors. This is Mr. Haunted, and now back to In Dark Places.
Thank you, Jimmy Haunted, for that fascinating news story. So we talk about all kinds of monsters on this show. We talk about Bigfoot, Dogman, Mothman, all those types of monsters. But the most deadly monster of all of them is the human being. This week we're looking at some sick, twisted individuals who would put Bigfoot to shame. I mentioned that guy with the road rage. So here's the story of the event from the Williamson Daily News. Florida man facing second-degree murder charges in Williamson shooting by Dylan Vidovich. A man from Florida will face charges of second-degree murder after police say he shot and killed a man during a road rage incident in Williamson on Thursday. James Blaine Armstrong, 66, of Yulee, Florida, is named in a criminal complaint filed in Mingo County Magistrate Court Thursday and signed by members of the Williamson City Police, the Mingo County Sheriff's Department, and West Virginia State Police. According to the complaint, Armstrong was traveling north on US 119 in a white Freightliner tractor trailer. Eric Bennett Simmons, who is named as the victim, was driving a red Chevy Cruze, and police say Simmons pulled in front of Armstrong at the intersection of US 119 and US 52 and blocked Armstrong. Police say Simmons exited his vehicle, walked to the driver's side door of the Freightliner, and began screaming and cussing at Armstrong. As Simmons approached, Armstrong rolled his window down and Simmons opened his door. That's when Armstrong reportedly pulled out a Ruger 380 pistol from his pocket and pointed it at Simmons, firing one shot. The bullet struck Simmons in the upper chest, and he fell to the ground and died. Armstrong is charged with second-degree murder and is currently behind bars at Southwestern Regional Jail on a $200,000 cash-only bond. Armstrong is represented by attorney Jeff Simpkins and has claimed self-defense in the incident, saying that Simmons was getting into a physical altercation and he had no other choice. Armstrong called 911 himself following the shooting. Simmons was from the area, according to the Williamson police. So yeah, this is a small town and rumors fly and stuff like that. We have heard like some of the witnesses to this story say that they were like pretty much racing each other coming down the road. Simmons would pull in front of Armstrong, and then Armstrong would pull in front of Simmons, and they just kept kind of playing cat and mouse with each other, and eventually they kind of got agitated with each other, and road rage got the best of them. So that's the story that kind of set me off for this week's topic. My dad worked at the Mingo County Courthouse as a maintenance man from 1991, I think it was, 92, something like that, up until 2008, when he had a stroke and he had to take an early retirement. Back around 1995, one of the deputies at the courthouse gave my dad a big old suitcase full of cassette tapes, and they all had dates on them ranging from 1979 until 1983. The deputy was getting ready to throw the suitcase into the dumpster out back, and my dad said he would like to take it. So he brought it home, and I was kind of bored and in college and trying every way in the world to not study, so I opened up the suitcase and found probably around 50 cassette tapes, I bet it was. It was full of cassette tapes, and it stayed like that for quite a few months. I started listening to the tapes, kind of intrigued to what was going on while these tapes were there. And most of them were like just phone conversations of some woman talking to just random people on the phone about random everyday events. She went to the mall and she saw so-and-so, and thought it was kind of odd. But it was interesting for me at the time to kind of be nosy and spy on these people's lives. I don't know why. So I kept listening, and eventually I found out that the woman who was answering the phone in these conversations was married to a man named Larry Wellman. So I told my dad about those tapes being from Larry Wellman and everything. So he told me this weird, crazy story about Larry Wellman. He was a policeman in Williamson, but every day before he would go to work, he took this big dog chain and tied his wife up in their basement like a dog just locked her up down in the basement with a chain around her neck. And when he would come home from work, he wouldn't let her go. And I guess he was super jealous or something. I don't know. He was kind of twisted. But he would keep her locked up in the basement the whole time he was at work, I guess, to keep from talking to other men or something. So he eventually ended up going to prison from spousal abuse and stuff like that. And I was trying to find some more information on him. This happened back in 1983. And I was trying to find some more information on the story. And I found like a court document talking about how Larry Wellman had been arrested for battery. And he was later indicted and pled guilty for a charge of incest. So yeah, this was really sick, twisted dude. He filed like a countersuit against the police department when they put him in jail. He said that it was like a big conspiracy between the county and his family. They wanted to accuse him of that stuff, even though he pled guilty. He was a police officer until 1980. He eventually dropped charges against his wife, but he still went to prison for incest. And as far as I know, he died in prison. So yeah, that's a crazy little story right here in my hometown.
This is Mr. Haunted with Cryptid Corner. The Bat Squatch is a flying cryptid that was allegedly seen near Mount St. Helens in the 1980s. It resembles a flying primate, and its name is derived from the words bat and Sasquatch. A witness allegedly took several pictures of this creature. However, these pictures have not yet been analyzed. You know what? Get with the program. It's been 40 years, and thus cannot prove the creature's existence. This creature was said to have yellow eyes, a dog-like muzzle, blue fur, sharp teeth, bird-like feet, and leathery bat-like wings that span up to 50 feet. In addition, Bat Squatch is said to be 9 feet tall and has the ability to affect car engines. On April 1994, Brian Canfield was driving in Washington's Pierce County when his truck suddenly died. Canfield said a large creature landed in front of him. He said it was human-like, 9 feet tall with bat-like wings, and also sported a coat of blue fur. Ever since then, it has not been seen, and skeptics dismiss it as a hoax. Oh, of course they do. Another sighting was reported in 2009 near Mount Shasta in California. Several hikers witnessed a huge creature with leathery wings spanning 50 feet fly out of a crevice in the mountain. At first, an eyewitness described the creature as having a head similar to a pterodactyl, but then settled on saying it was like a flying fox bat. In 2011, another witness was in his backyard walking his dog. He went to pick up the dog when he saw something in the sky. "I saw something flying in the sky. It had bat wings, blue fur, and had a face similar to eyes glowing red. It was about 9 feet tall at the least. After I watched it, it just flew away." April 14th, 2014, at Archbishop Hoban High School in Akron, Ohio, a second period Spanish class spotted a similar creature. A giant black mass zipped by the window of the classroom at incredible speed. The class claimed it was about 9 feet tall with a 20 to 30 foot wingspan. And that's the Bat Squatch. Back to more in dark places.
Yes, sir. Bat Squatch. That's some creepy stuff right there. Harry Powers was born as Herman Drenth in 1892 in the Netherlands. His family settled in West Virginia in 1926. He married and bought a home in Quiet Dell, West Virginia, but soon began taking out personal ads in the paper claiming to be looking for love in all the wrong places. When women answered the ads, he killed them and stole their money. He was caught and convicted in 1931 and executed in 1932. He came to be known as the Lonely Hearts Killer and the Bluebeard of Quiet Dell, which kind of seems to be completely unrelated. The Bluebeard story. Weird. James Childers came from Clarksburg, owned a farm in Braxton County, and worked as a handyman. In 2009, Childers sent an audio recording to police describing where they could find two bodies buried in Braxton and Barber counties. He claimed to have murdered several more people, but most of the bodies were never found. He shot himself when police came to arrest him after listening to the recordings. Bobby Joe Long was born in Canova, West Virginia in 1953. Before turning to murder, Long had committed at least 50 rapes as the classified ads rapist in Florida, answering ads about small appliances and then raping women if they were home alone. He was once charged and convicted, but requested a new trial. All the rape charges against him were dropped by authorities, and some of the charges were never pursued at all. After getting away with rape for several years, Long began killing his victims as well. In 1984, he killed at least 10 women before he was finally arrested later that year. He is now serving multiple life sentences without the possibility of parole. A funny little story about Canova. There's a lot of deer. Every time I go to Canova, there's at least 20 dead deer laying in the road. And that's all I got.
Howdy, partners. This is your news correspondent, Mr. Haunted. A morning of Thanksgiving drinking turned violent when a man said a woman thought he was a turkey and stabbed him, according to a Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office report. Shontaine Hayes, 37, of Lake Park, faces an aggravated assault and aggravated battery charge for threatening one woman and stabbing a man at about 1:20 Thursday. The woman, who was not identified in the report, said she woke up around noon and Hayes began arguing with her, but she didn't know why. She said Hayes had been drinking vodka since early that morning, according to the report. Hayes then grabbed a butcher's knife, raised it over her head with furious anger, and threatened the other woman. According to the report, at some point, she also stabbed the man, deputies said. They found him at the Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center emergency room with wounds to his stomach and right shoulder. Deputies interviewed Hayes, who said she was drinking Four Loko, an alcoholic beverage, and denied stabbing the man. She said the man stabbed himself. The victim said he didn't think the stabbing was intentional and wasn't cooperating with authorities. He stated the defendant thought he was a turkey, so it really wasn't her fault. Deputies found two knives in a kitchen sink. One of the knives was bloody. Deputies determined the man's injuries were not self-inflicted and arrested Hayes. She was booked into Palm Beach County Jail and released after posting $15,000 bail. Now, I'm thinking this is going to be an awkward Christmas dinner. Now, back to In Dark Places.
So yeah, that's an easy mistake. Mistake your husband for a turkey. Yeah, I can see that happening. Henry Lee Lucas spent 10 years in prison for the murder of his mother before he was released in 1970 because of prison overcrowding. He then attempted to kidnap three schoolgirls and served another 5 years in prison. After that, he moved to West Virginia, where he began a relationship with a woman, but left the state after her family confronted him about being abusive. Lucas then spent time in Florida and Texas, and after several additional brushes with the law, confessed to hundreds of murders. It's likely that most of these were false confessions, but he was ultimately convicted of 11 homicides. He died in prison from heart failure at the age of 64. Notorious cult leader Charles Manson lived in McMacon, West Virginia for a time with his aunt and uncle, while his mother served prison time for robbing a Charleston service station. Although Manson did not personally commit the killings famously perpetrated by his cult, Manson was convicted of first-degree murder for giving the orders to kill all the victims. Causing millions of people to live their lives in fear, Dr. Anthony Fauci create... Huh? What? How did this get in there? Pixabay Steve Rubenstein. This case remains one of West Virginia's unsolved mysteries. In the 1960s, 7 people in Fayette County went missing, and various dismembered body parts were later found strewn around the mountains. There is little information available about the case, but no one has ever been convicted of the crimes.
This is your In Dark Places news correspondent, Mr. Haunted, with more Thanksgiving Day tragedy news caused by monsters. This story comes out of Beaumont, Texas. A Beaumont man who investigators say hit his girlfriend with a turkey and several other objects was indicted Wednesday on a second-degree felony charge of aggravated assault. On December 8th, a Beaumont police officer was called to the 2000 block of Calder Avenue about an assault that happened on Broadway Street. He spoke with a woman who said Frank Patillo assaulted her multiple times between October and December. The woman and Patillo were in a relationship and had been living together, court documents show. The woman says the first incident happened after she got out of jail. In late October, she said Patillo was assaulting her, then took her to the floor. While she was on the ground, Patillo allegedly kicked her in the forehead with a steel-toe boot, which caused a laceration. Police say Patillo refused to let her get medical treatment. Another incident occurred before Thanksgiving. Investigators say Patillo took a frozen turkey and hit the top of the woman's head with it. Police said the blow caused a fracture in the woman's disc in her neck. Additionally, 1 week before the woman was struck by the frozen turkey, Patillo allegedly beat her with a bicycle air pump. The woman said during the beating, her arm, leg, and fingers were broken. Well, have a happy Thanksgiving, fellas. It's coming up. Back to In Dark Places.
One time at work, I was weighing some turkeys for Thanksgiving, and one of the turkeys kind of slid off the scale, and it was going to hit the floor. So I thought it was going to shatter into a million pieces or something, and I didn't want it to hit the floor. So I tried to stop the fall with my foot, and I'll just tell you that really hurts when a frozen turkey hits your foot. So yeah, I hit her in the head with it. My goodness. Man recorded himself killing grandpa and sent the video to family members. When the 94-year-old retired college professor's grandson called 911, and reported Maurice Seal had collapsed from a sudden medical episode. Police and paramedics in Huntington, West Virginia responded and found Seal dead. His death was found to be from natural causes, and his 5 children, 16 grandchildren, and 20 great-grandchildren mourned his death. Then the video surfaced. On July 26, more than 2 years and 2,200 miles across the country, Seal's grandson walked into the Beverly Hills Police Department and confessed not only to killing his grandfather, but also to recording the homicide on his iPad, and later sending the video to family members. Seth Ellis Donald, 36, was extradited to Huntington on July 26. He is charged with first-degree murder. Donald remained Monday in the Western Regional Jail and Correctional Facility, according to jail records. The shocking details of the alleged crime were revealed Thursday during a preliminary hearing in which defense attorneys for Donald argued there was no physical evidence tying their client to the crime, the Huntington Herald-Dispatch reported. The defense also argued that the video has not been authenticated. Cabell County prosecutors said the video and recording of Donald's confession are evidence enough to proceed with the case, and the judge agreed. At Thursday's hearing, Huntington Police Sergeant Jason Davis testified that officers and paramedics went to the Woodlands retirement community near Huntington on June 6, 2019, on a call of an unattended death. Donald, who had placed the call, told first responders that he had taken Seal for a walk when the elderly man collapsed face first onto the ground. Donald said he tried to revive his grandfather and drag him back to the retirement community to no avail, the Herald-Dispatch reported. The story was believable, Davis testified. Based on the story Mr. Donald provided and injuries that were consistent with the injuries Mr. Donald explained, the medical examiner, with his medical history in mind and his age, decided not to respond, and they released the victim to continue with the funeral process, Davis said, according to WSAZ in Huntington. Injuries to Seal's face were attributed to the fall, and because of Seal's medical history, the medical examiner ruled the death natural without going to the scene. Seal, a retired Marshall University professor and amateur pilot, was buried 8 days later. Life for Seal's loved ones went on for several months until family members called the police in January 2020 and said Seal's death might not be all that it seemed. Investigators assigned to the case were delayed in their probe, however, by the COVID pandemic. Things were at a standstill until last month when Donald told police in California what he had done. He turned over his iPad, which contained a video of his grandfather's brutal death. And that concludes our little presentation on monster people. I think I would much rather run into a Bigfoot than some of these people. Just saying. So take care of yourselves out there. Watch out for the monster people. And we'll see you again here next week. God bless you guys.